Welcome back, friends. We're here still with Nicole and Sarah. We've talked about the early times of marriage, student loan debt, paying it off, going through law school without it. And now we're going to turn to the concept of a working mother, because Nicole has been, I realized this when I was writing this out, you've been a working mom almost your whole married life. Of how many years?
12. We'll be celebrating 12 this year.
Praise be God. Praise be God. So 12 years of marriage. And so for a number of families, I did work briefly outside the home at parts, but for the most part, I've been a stay-at-home mom, like Sarah. That was our choice, and I'm ever grateful for it. But that's not a choice many families make for a variety of reasons. And so, Nicole, I thought it might be helpful for those families for you to talk a little bit about that. How do you do this thing? I hesitate to use the word balance. I think it's an overwrought word. Balance always has an important. I think to make it real, you need to define your time frame, right? Because prior, when we're going through school, if you say on how much time were you spending, Sarah or Nicole, with Jane, your husband during that time, where is your balance? Then you will get a different answer.
If I may jump in, I think the term that I would prefer to use is, how is it, Nicole, that you make this compliment? And by compliment, I mean complete. How do you make this complement your marriage and your family life? Because that's really what it is. This is about, and by, you know, that, not the compliment like, oh, I love your earrings, which by the way, I do. They're very cute.
Thank you.
But the compliment, right, which is what we are called to be to our spouse. I say to my kids that we're not equals, we're angles, right? And complementary when best, right? So we form that perfect line when we're working together best. So how is it that you make this choice? How does it complement your family life?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think all moms are working moms, so let's just get that out there. It's a hard job no matter what you do. Well, when I graduated, you're right, I did work throughout, I don't know, all my adult life. When James went to Iraq, I worked as a youth minister for my parish. I did that. I brought Lucy with me, and she was in my office while I was doing youth ministry stuff. And then during law school, I had a couple odd jobs, but they were work from home, so that was really helpful. And then after law school, I worked as an in-house attorney for a corporation here in San Antonio, and that was a full-time job. And so we got a nanny, we did the whole shebang of full-time, both parents working. And then now I have my own practice, so I'm able to work out of the home. And I think what you have to think about is, what are your goals as a family? And particularly women, what are your goals? When I worked full time, I thought that's what I wanted. I thought that this is what I was, you know, working my whole life for. And I was just miserable. I like being around my kids. I like being at home. Not all the time, because, you know, you do need a little break from your kids, you know. But I just thought, I saw that as something I like in myself. I studied around kids, so that never really was a bother to me. Right now I have a Kindle in front of me. So I quit the in-house job after about a year and a half. And I've been at home ever since, and I've been able to grow a pretty profitable law practice from the house. And I think that's what's good about finding a job that works around your family, whatever that is, that there are a lot of job opportunities now for women that you can do outside of the home, or after hours when your husband's home. And I think it's important for a woman to really think about what they want as a family, what their goals are as a woman. Let me get this up. There you go. But yeah, I don't like balance because I think we all have stages of life, and I realize a stage of my life right now is to be at home and to be with the kids and to raise them. It doesn't mean 10 years from now when the kids are all gone, I can do something else. But we're not men. We can't just leave our kids behind and go off to work. That's not practical for most women. And that's what we need. We put into this equation is that we are women. We have kids. We want to be around them most of the time. So I think that's what we've forgotten in this communication about working and a mom and the whole bit.
There was actually a very interesting article that I read today that was essentially speaking about that, is that we need to have in some manner a restoration of a feminine ethic, a feminine work ethic. What does that mean? Because the feminists have made it that the only way that women can be seen as being successful is by being judged by the male paradigm or the male ethic of work. And frankly, for us, that is, it makes us deny who we are, and it makes us put aside those things that are fundamentally our biggest strengths. And I think that you can see that in the world right now, because women truly are, by design, I believe, the heart of their home, the heart of their community. And when you remove the heart from the body, you have nothing left but a corpse. And I think that we're seeing that in our families, small, writ in the small sense, and in our communities writ large, which is why I think for you, Nicole, really, you know, because obviously I had the great grace of knowing you since you were, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, basically.
Don't tell any stories.
Only about the bacon, only about the ham bacon, right? I think that it was... I think that really, when I asked you, how do you make it compliment you, from the time that I've known you, that this has been something, being studying the law was always something that drew you. And so I think that in that sense, for you to have pursued that is almost a completion of who you are. And so you are able to take that, not because it subtracts from you, but because it actually broadens who you are. So you're going to be able to take that, and because it's not only a vocation for you, I think in many ways it was also an avocation. And I do believe that we as women have a very strong need to rise to the level that God has called us to be ready at any moment to serve Him in the path that He's going to call us to. And when we improve ourselves in light of His call to us, then that can only be, especially when we put it to the service of the family and not in opposition to the family, that can only then be a blessing. And I think that that's an area where too many women think that they need to work for the supply of funds, as opposed to working because that is what their gifts are. So they settle on wants or desires, and they deny the truth of who they are. Because in the modern world right now, the only way that people are being judged is by the virtues. We're not allowed to be judged by what we could rightfully define as virtues, which I think John Paul II said at one point in his encyclical on the dignity of women, right? Women, be who you are. Perhaps I'm wrong, but we might need to look back into that. But I do think there's something there specifically that he addressed to us.
That was right. And one of the our presentations Nicole did in her past as catechist was teaching on the feminine genius. It was crafted towards helping the pubescent girl understand, and the mother, so it was always in conjunction with the mother and the daughter, understand how her body was changing and to approach it with both the biological, but more, much more importantly, the theological, spiritual aspect of it. But that feminine genius, that women be who you are, feminine genius, that was the John Paul phrase, is exactly right. Exactly right.
Because I do think that there can be a complement there that is outside of it. It's not a scale where we weigh one side or the other. I mean, that's the beauty of the circle, right? Is that within the circle, you still have a complete entity, but many, many complementary angles that all come together to fulfill the wholeness of something. And if we can look at it from that standpoint, where we're not weighing something against something else, but that instead these are pieces that come to create a whole that are complementary with one another. I think that there will be a lot less tension. And I do think that there is an incredible amount of tension between chosen to work full time, to stay home full time. And really, rather than having there be tension there, there should be union. There should be a recognition that one serves the other, and both can be equal goods provided they are being put toward the good.
Well, I think that's what one of the evils of the sexual revolution did was it took away all the distinction between a male and a female, and it had ramifications in the workplace. If you read like the letters of Abigail Adams with John Adams, with our founding fathers, he has great respect for his wife. He asks her a lot of discussions about the government and how they should pursue and what they should do. And this is his wife who stays at the home, and he really admires what she does. Or if you read The Little House on the Prairie with the pioneer women who go out in the middle of nowhere and create these new settlements and how much work they had to do. I can't even imagine, you know, putting up your own house. But that's what they did. And for a lot of years, men and women were able to work along each other. A lot of women worked, you know, outside of their homes, you know, seamstressing or cleaning out other people's houses, or teachers, nurses. And it was only just recently when we started to just clash with each other and we forgot that women are women and we have our own abilities and men have their abilities, which are just as great as women. And it comes into the workplace where we have this great push from our society as young women that you need to focus on your career first and then have kids. And we're not men. We can't do that. If you wait too long, you'll never have kids.
Right, our biological clocks.
And so we forgot what reality of women is and how much we're important to society just as being women. We're not men. I don't want to act like a man. I have four boys. I don't ever want to be like them. So, it's really sad as a society. We've forgotten the importance of a woman just as being women.
I'm actually sort of playing with this as kind of an idea. I'm rereading this book by St. Maximilian Kolbe called The Holy Spirit and the Immaculate Conception. It's very beautiful. Do you want to stop there, Karen?
Yeah. Right. I want to stop there. To the next time. Be days.